Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, Matthew chapter 8. And the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 19 and 20. We read in verse 18 that he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8, verses 19 and 20. We live in a day when many are opposed to the gospel. And when it's difficult to interest people in the things of God. And in that sort of day, when it's difficult to gather people to hear the truth and to follow the Saviour, there are many temptations to water down the gospel, to change it into something less than what it should be as it is set forth in God's Word. And you can get success. You can find people who flock to hear messages which are less than the biblical, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. We're aware of what's happening, see, in America, where even these mega churches, and, well, often, the trumpet call of the gospel which sounds out, it's appealing, sounds good, but it gives an uncertain sound. And it's not just there, you get these things, you get it in your own country, and sadly it's even increasingly coming into our own communities. There are those who sugarcoat the gospel. What do? If you want to make something attractive, which you know deep down is less than attractive, well, the medicine, you put some nice flavouring or sugar into it. That's what many do with the gospel. They make out as if it is easy to follow Christ, as if there will be no problems. What you're lacking in your life, what will give you happiness and contentment and all that you need, you'll find it if you begin to follow Christ. And really what is almost suggested is this, that knowing Christ makes your life, which really is quite good now, even better. Like the icing on top of the cake, the cream on top of the pudding, it just adds that something. There are those who come out with these things. There are those who basically are into what we might call easy believism, where sin is not mentioned, where Christ and his death as an offering of sin may be mentioned. But at the end of the day, a few demands are made on people. It's all about Christ meeting your needs and the demand for holiness. Well, let's forget about such things. After all, who wants to hear that they're a sinner? Who wants to hear of the reality of hell? There are those who perhaps preach the gospel more fully. And yet what they do is they stir up people's emotions. So you get a great choir singing some sentimental song. You get a preacher making prolonged calls to come to the front and to give the life to Jesus.
And if you've ever been in that sort of atmosphere, you'll know that there can be a really emotional, electric atmosphere that can almost raise you out of your seat to respond to this call. Often there's commitments that don't last. Well, here we have the great evangelist at work. He's been at work, the Lord Jesus, preaching the good news of the kingdom. At times he is performing miracles, and through these things, teaching of the need of faith, and teaching about the reality of sin and the need of salvation. At other times he is simply preaching the good news of the gospel. And we find that he's crowding out, and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake, to the Sea of Galilee. And a certain scribe comes and says to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you rejoice to hear of such things? Are people saying, yes, I want to follow the Saviour. I want to be his. It was an unusual offer. Because notice, it was from a scribe. That the scribes, by and large, were totally opposed to Christ and to his claims to be the Messiah. How significant that one of them should come and say, I'm going to follow you. What does the Lord Jesus do? Does he welcome him with open arms? Saviour, come in. I'm sure that we could use you in the work of the kingdom. A little training, you could go out and be preaching the gospel. What does he see? Foxes of holes, the birds of the air of nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What a strange response. What an off-putting response. What a slap in the face, you could say. That's not what you would expect an evangelist to do. Well, we don't know the man's reaction. And it's not important. Because what is important for us is the lessons that the Lord Jesus is conveying here. What did the man say? How are we to view Christ's response? Let's notice firstly the man's offer to follow Christ. His scribe comes and says, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, can't we say this? There was much that was commendable. And what he says. Oh, that each one of us would say from the heart tonight, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Do you see his willing commitment to be a follower of Christ? He freely offers to follow him. It's not that great pressure is being put on him, that his emotions are being played with so that he will respond. He freely offers to follow Christ and be his disciple. And of course, that's the way it always is. Christ will coerce no one to follow him. He forces no one to believe in him. A willing people in thy day of power shall come to me. He makes the sinner willing to come to Christ. And all those who have fled to Christ have of their own free will and decision fled to him and embraced him as he was set forth and offered in the gospel as that suitable remedy for sin. So here is willing commitment. I will follow thee. He just springs up and says, I don't want you to go without me. Let me come as well. That was good. You see, The real problem that man has is a problem of refusing to follow Christ. Have you come to Christ? If you have not as yet come to Christ, your problem in refusing Christ is one of the will that you will not come to Him, that you might have life. It's not that there is anything lacking in Christ. He is an all-sufficient Saviour, able to save to the uttermost all who will come to Him. A mighty Saviour. One who can cleanse the chiefest of sinners. The Apostle Paul. The Manassees of this world. Those who, like the Corinthians we were reading of this morning, some of them were murderers, adulterers, homosexuals, converted to Christ. Wonderful. And they were made willing to turn from their sin. And your problem is, you will not turn. You refuse to turn. How serious is your situation, friend? God will call you to account. And He will rebuke you. And He will condemn you for being unwilling to embrace the lovely, all-sufficient Saviour. Friend, stop this. Pray for a willing heart to embrace the Saviour. This man was willing. That was good. You'll notice he also offered total commitment. He says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Where was he going? Well, he was going to the other side of the lake. Here he is going to the Gergesenes. And it's obvious from this place where they keep swine or pigs. This place where, having seen this man being delivered from demons and valuing the pigs more than the man, they want Jesus to leave. This place is a dark place. Spiritually dark. There's no interest in Christ. I'll go even there. There's no restrictions. Here is a sincere, enthusiastic commitment to follow Christ. My friend, is that not good? Is that not what is involved in coming to Christ? That willingness to follow Him and that desire to be totally committed to Him? If you are going to follow Christ, you must fully and wholeheartedly, totally commit yourself to following Him. You cannot say, well, I will follow you so far. I will listen to certain things that you are saying. Yes, I will have salvation. But if I'm told to do this, I don't know if I want it. Christ says, I am master. I'm the captain of this ship now. You'll go where I go. You'll do what I do. You'll say what I say. My son, give me your heart. Is that not the call of the gospel? To follow Him through. And so in the book of Revelation, we read of those which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and of the Lamb. Is that your problem? There are things in your life you will not give up for Christ. So long as you go on that way, you remain in sin and in danger, friend. In danger of hell. When surely these things that you cherish, what are they compared to your never dying precious soul? Will you not turn from these things? and see Christ. You'll notice this man, there's willing commitment, there's total commitment, there's also a learner's commitment. He's a scribe. He's one who's a teacher of the law. And who'd be used to writing him the scriptures and the teachings of the fathers.
One of that group who were opposed to the idea of Christ was the Messiah.
And what's he saying? He is saying, Master. He's saying, Master. He's calling him teacher. He taught as one with authority and not as the scribes. It took humility to see he knows better. I want to learn from him. Friend, have you humbled yourself to learn from Christ? That's what's involved in being a follower of Christ. That I don't know, but he knows. That my understanding of the word is faulty, my understanding of myself is faulty, but he is able to teach me by his word and by his spirit. Lord, lead me and teach me and guide me in the way in which I should go. Have you that willingness to learn and be taught by Christ? You see, the true follower of Christ is one who says, I will take this word to be my rule of life. I will follow him and learn of him. And therefore you'll notice it was submissive commitment. Master, I'm under thy authority. I'll be directed by thee. Friend, if you will have Christ to save you, you must have him as Lord. You must be ruled by him and give unreserved obedience to him and depend on him wholeheartedly. That's what this man professes to do. His words. Oh, that they would be our words. For they are commendable, and our spirit is necessary if you would enter the kingdom. But aren't there some concerns? There is much that is commendable, but there are things which would concern us as we read the account here. It's obvious that he spoke suddenly, that he hadn't counted the cost. Because that's what the Lord Jesus, in effect, is saying in verse 20, in response. He's saying, wait a minute, count the cost. Foxes are holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not here to lay his head. Are you sure you want to follow me? And with the count of the cost. It reminds you of soldiers that we hear of from time to time who complain about being sent to war. Think of it. If you join the forces, you know there's the possibility of being sent to a place of danger, to have to fight, to be confronted with death itself. And it seems strange to join the forces and yet complain about being sent into the battlefield. There are some who do that, and what's your response? Well, listen to this. What were you doing, man? You signed up, you knew what you were signing up to. Didn't you count the cost? Anyone going to build a tower is going to count the cost before they begin. Haven't you done that? The Lord's saying to him, have you really counted the cost? You see, there's a teaching of Christ. Here's a scribe. He's used to learning. He hears Christ. He can preach with authority. He's different. There's so much attractive in his teaching. He's not just saying, oh, Rabbi so-and-so said this. This man from long ago said that. He teaches with authority. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. He's saying, this is right. Do this. So much to appeal in this man's teaching. And then there's the miracles. Well, who is this who can do such wonderful miracles? There are the crowds crowding around Christ, laughing up his teaching and waiting for another miracle to take place. Think of the excitement and the buzz and the excitement that must be in this man's heart. Is this the Messiah? Is the kingdom of God about to come? I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. It speaks rashly. And that's dangerous. To be swayed by the occasion and the excitement rather than being touched by the truth. Friend, isn't it dangerous? Isn't that why Scripture condemns the sort of mass evangelism where they try and play in people's emotions? Isn't that why when revival does break out, you find wise ministers saying, yes, let there be the preaching of the gospel, but beware of stirring up an excitement which is the flesh rather than the spirit? Are people being swept away by the emotion? Because that does not produce lasting fruit. He spoke suddenly. That was a bit worrying. Was he really sincere? Now, you're not to think that the Lord Jesus did not call people to decision. We're not to think that the gospel doesn't say, look, there's a danger of delay. You must begin to follow Christ. You must. And you find the prophets and Christ himself emphasizing the need to follow him and to begin now. In the gospel we say to you, seek the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Beware. Ignore him. Put it off to another day, it might be too late. But there is also a danger of an unthinking rashness. Count the cost. I suppose he also appears to speak with self-confidence. There's no thought here of the difficulty. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. How good to see. There's no word of grace, is there? Well, by the grace of God, by the help of God, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But he's not saying by God's help and grace. Friend, perhaps that's one thing that keeps you away from Christ. You want him, and yet you're aware of your weakness. You know you can't follow him in your own strength. Ah, but you see, he doesn't expect you to. He has never asked you to. He has called you to follow him, relying on his strength. To take his yoke, to learn of him, and to rest in him. Not just for the forgiveness of sins, but for all we need grace and strength to live as a child of God in a sinful world. And you mistake things when you think, well, I know I need Christ, and I know I must come to him, but I could never keep it up, and I don't know how I could wholeheartedly and completely follow him. Friend, stop relying on yourself.
cling to the all-sufficiency for the forgiveness of sins and for grace to follow him. There's no believer here tonight who's relying on anything else but the grace of God to keep them from day to day. Do not be discouraged from following by your weakness. Your weakness points to your need. But remember the all-sufficiency of Christ to save. Let him be the complete Savior who begins and completes the work. He offered to follow Christ. All that we indeed would say, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, how does the Lord respond? Foxes of holes, birds of the air of nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. A negative response, we might think. What's he saying? Well, we notice secondly the Lord's response. And surely one thing he's saying to this man is this: remember that my followers are pilgrims. You see, here are the wild beasts, foxes. Well, the fox has got its own hole, its own den. The birds of the place where they roost at night, their own place. I have no home. I don't have anywhere that I can call my own. Wasn't that the way it was when he was born into this world? Laid in a manger, because there was no room for them in an inn. From a borrowed manger, he ends up at the end of his days in a borrowed tomb. Nowhere to call his own. One who was a wanderer through life. Why does the Lord Jesus say that? Well, the disciples follows the Master. If the Master is a wanderer, the disciple will end up being a wanderer as well. In other words, he's saying to him, look, do not think life is going to be easy. Life involves living as a pilgrim in this world. It involves denying self and living for Christ. It involves being a pilgrim in this world. It involves forsaking the world. And seeing that, well, the only home that you really have will be heaven. That here you've got no continuing city. And that ends up shaping the way you think and the way you act. You see, that's the way it is. The believer's a pilgrim in this world. Thou must forget thy father's house and kindred almost be. There must be a turning away from the world and the things of the world and the things of sin. Well, that's not easy. There must be that recognition that here we have no continuing city. Or there are no continuing city. Here things don't last. This man, perhaps he could rise to great prominence in Israel. Ah, well, if you follow me, that's not what's going to happen. You know, increasingly those who follow the Lord are going to be liable to lose out on worldly advantage. They're going to find more and more difficulties if they're faithful to Christ. And he's saying, look, remember these things. Do you still want to follow me? You must. He's not saying go back, but he's saying, look, remember this. You must live as a pilgrim if you're going to follow me. And there will be that home, which is a father's house of many mansions, which will be your resting place.
You'll not lose out, but life will be hard. Yes, you'll be a pilgrim and a stranger in this world, and therefore you may not have the honours of the world. But remember this, there'll be a Father's, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You still want to follow me? You must. Follow me." But remember, foxes of holes, birds of the air of nests, I don't know that, and you won't either. Another thing, so that you're seeing this, remember, my followers face hardships. Here's the Son of Man here, the glorious divine Messiah, the Son of Man, the one who is ruler of the universe and Lord of all, and he is one who doesn't even have anywhere to lay down his head. He's humbled himself. His life is one of hardships. He's born in that in a low condition. And ultimately he's going to go to the cross. And all that he is suffering now, and all that he is going to suffer in the cross, is an account of man's sin. He is going to bear all that sin deserves. Christ is one who is going to know trials and troubles and the agony of the cross. What does he say to his people? He says, you have to expect the same sort of thing. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That we must, with much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of glory. Now therefore, my son, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, we follow him. You've got to follow the same sort of path as he trod. You must deny self, take up the cross and follow him. You'll find there will be many enemies. For to follow Christ is to battle against the world, the flesh and the devil. Are you going to do that constantly? You must. Not do is to destroy yourself. But it won't be easy. You need to resolve to be done with sin. You must turn with it and keep on turning from it. And of sin in Christ. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There will be hardships. The world will be against you. But then, the world's going to be destroyed. And the world doesn't love you. It loves you when it agrees with them. That's the only reason it loves you. Wants no one to bother the conscience, and no one to say, you're wrong, you're in danger. Friend, you must turn away. You must follow Christ. It will mean enmity of the world, but the friendship of God. There will be the threat of persecution. Here's the Lord Jesus, he's so popular. I don't have anywhere to lay down my head. Oh, there's going to be difficulties. There will come the time when many will cease to follow him. There will come the time when ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, are you willing to bear reproach for Christ? Slander for Christ? Be different. You can't follow him if you're not willing. But you see, if you're aware of your danger, if you're aware of what it means to be a sinner under the wrath and curse of God, well, to have God is with me, to to have God as my friend, to have sin dealt with, I'll take anything else. As long as I have that through Christ. Yes, there will be hardships.
The Lord says, take up the cross. As Christ had to go to the cross, you'll have to take up the cross.
There will be trials, and sometimes it will be the Lord testing you to see if you are faithful, to purify your faith. But He's promised help. Friend, you must follow Him.
What's He saying there, sir? Remember, you're a pilgrim.
If you're going to follow me, you must become one. Are you willing?
Remember, my followers face hardships. You must be prepared as well.
If you're going to follow me. And therefore remember the need to count the cost.
What's the Lord Jesus doing here?
He might appear to be off-putting.
But all He's doing is saying, you need to stop and consider. He's been faithful. There's no use you see following.
Or saying we'll follow if we will not count the cost.
And yet at the end of the day, isn't it true, dear believer? Would you say this to others? There's no cost in following Christ. Not really. I get everything. I gain everything. I give up nothing that isn't worthy of being given up anyway. I'm sure many of you will have heard of the name of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Famous doctor in the 20s, working in Harley Street, heading for the top of his profession, converted. He becomes a preacher. And often people would say to him, my, you gave up so much to become a preacher. What was his response? I gave up nothing. I gained everything. Isn't that true, dear believer? You've really lost nothing. You have gained everything in Christ. Your God is your God. Christ is your elder brother. You have the hope of glory set before you. And the more you see the preciousness of Christ, what a glorious Savior is. Well, the more you see, I have given up nothing for Him. Oh, He had to suffer so much. He who was rich, for my sake became poor. He suffered the agonies of the cross to deliver me from my sin. But what is that? That is so much. What is me and my suffering compared to that? I give up nothing. He was prepared to give up all for the likes of me. What a Savior. Well, how do you respond to the call of the gospel? Will you follow Christ? He says, follow me. Hear this man saying, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, that by grace this might be your thoughtful resolution tonight. That you will follow Him wholly. That you will follow Him wherever He goes. You'll be aware. It won't be easy. But then, Christ never promised you an easy life. But it's the way of salvation, following Him, resting in Christ. The world says, oh, it's too hard. Choose the easy life. The easy life that lasts in a lost eternity of hell. Friend, let your resolution be that of the scribe. But let it be that wholehearted, thoughtful resolution. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Let that be your resolution tonight.
tonight. Let us pray.